This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here to look ahead to the True Thailand Classic and the AT&T at Pebble Beach National this week. First of all, let's have a quick reflection on last week. It's a warm welcome to both Mike and Dave here in the studio. And we'll start off with just a quick look back at the Malaysian Open, first of all. And Aniban Lahiri stealing that one away, Dave, from Lee Westwood et al. And it was an impressive weekend performance from Lahiri, an event that you thought Westwood was in control of for the majority of the week.
Yeah, normally, I mean, Westwood's got a slight squiggle, hasn't he, for certainly the majors and other big events. But in Asia, he seems to, you know, get to halfway with the lead and kick on and go through with it. But he kind of almost reverted to type, didn't he, with this one, where he went out fast and then just run out of momentum. And in the end, even going into the last day, he didn't really fancy him, to be honest. I just thought he'd hit the buffer sort of thing. But, yeah, Lahiri, what, 62, 68 on the weekend?
Yeah.
Given that, I mean, that's minus 12 of the minus 14 that won, so brilliant effort by the Indian. It's a shame because I was going to tip him for this, but kind of blew his price because he's got really good form in this week's event. But yeah, he's a player I've watched for a while. I thought he might, you know, kick on and win a decent event here and there, and yeah, it's good effort that.
Mm. And in the American event, Mike, Jason Day. It might have got lost in translation last week, but we were critical of his price, not his game, last week on the podcast. And
is that us backtracking? Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. That's
well, he hadn't won it. He'd only won one stroke play event, hadn't he? And that's his second one last week. We all know he's very talented, but his price. Yeah, you could let him win at last week's price. He's won now another one, and that could open the door to lots more, rather obviously.
Yeah, it's a widely held belief, I think, that could act as a catalyst, that victory last weekend. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Yeah, I think it could. These things do help, don't they? He's got over that barrier. He's up to number four in the world, having only won two stroke play events in about the last 5 years. It just shows you what you can do with good finishes in majors, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was kind of half relieved that JB Holmes didn't win, by the way, because I tipped in the week before. And I did have a small bet on him last week, but I was almost cheering against him. You know that really weird betting thing that you have? I didn't have the right price, and I'm very much on him. So I didn't know what I wanted in the end, but he bottled. Oh, no, I won't say that word. I hate that word, bottled, in relation to golfers. But he should have gone for the green in two at the last in regulation, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I read something that he thought he was between clubs, and he thought over the back was a bit dead for the shape of his shot. So
yeah,
he said he'd play the same shot again. He'd lay up again.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe him.
I don't. I think if Lucas Glover hadn't
back
hit
fitting,
if Lucas Glover hadn't hit before him,
yeah,
I think he would have gone for the green.
Seed, didn't
he definitely did, didn't it? He just put it. Otherwise, he'd have been braver. He's a good, really good player, JB Holmes. Very underrated, and as I say, I was. Yeah, I thought he was going to win, and I was kicking myself out of the proper bet on him, you know.
Especially
in no form there, really, though, to be fair.
Mm. No, especially when his game's built on power,
yes,
and you know he's not that strong a wedge player.
Exactly.
It was a strange decision, wasn't it?
It was a strange decision, but he certainly can give it a good old pelt.
Let's get on to this week, then. Two events to get stuck into. We'll start off with the True Thailand Classic on the European Tour. This is the first European Tour event to be held in Thailand since 2007, and it's the first time a lot of these players will have seen the course. The venue is Black Mountain Golf Club, which has hosted the King's Cup last year and another couple of minor events. It measures 7,359 yards, the golf course, and it's a standard par 72 with the four par fives. Dave, the wind can be a factor at this venue.
Yeah, I went on the tournament's or the club's official website, and there was some player comments, and a lot of them said its biggest defence is the wind. So, I mean, it's in a, is it Hua Hin or Hin Hua?
Yeah, it's one or the other.
It's a seaside resort anyway, so you can see why the wind blows there. But although the forecast doesn't look too bad, there seems to be lots of sun there. So unlike some of these Asian events where it's just kind of
terrible weather and they're walking off all the time. It looks like a good clear week, I think.
And it's a venue which, even though a lot of the players might not have seen in tournament play before, some of the Scandinavians have practiced there in the winter, so there's a little bit to go on.
Yeah, and say it's held those three Asian tour events that you just mentioned at the start, so that's why I'd be siding with some of the locals, to be honest, this week.
Yeah, makes sense.
Let me spin through the betting. Alex Noren is the 10-1 market leader here with William Hill. Mark Warren is 12-1. Tongchai Zhaidi is 12-1. Arne Banlahiri is 18s. Peter Uihlein 20-1. Alejandro Canizares is 22s. Emiliano Grillo, Kiradek Apibanarat, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Scott End, and Thomas Bjorn all 25s. And it's 40s bar. I've just got the one pick here, Dave.
Two for me.
Well, I'm Mike. Got any, so Dave, you should go first.
Compensating.
That's it.
Yes.
Averaging out at one. Yeah, Prom Misawat, he's not just Thai, he's actually local to Hinhua or Hawaiian. So very much the local guy.
We need this is like Southall or Southwell, isn't it? We need to stick to one or the other.
Yeah. But yeah, he's the local guy, which doesn't necessarily translate into him being good on the course. It might not suit him, but in that King's Cup, he was third in it last year, so obviously he has translated that local course knowledge into good play.
Yeah,
had a nice top 25 in Malaysia last week, which was a good sort of building block, I think, for him. I always laugh when, how many times are these guys described as the burly Thai? It's him, isn't there?
Apibanarat,
and there's a couple of others, and you think even like the Asian tour, you think they might take a kinder sort of the big boned Thai or something, but they're burly Thai all the time. But he's the big dolphin, apparently.
Is he really?
And
he's
I think I understand that name a bit more now, because I think he lives by the sea and he's big. But he's 40-1 Prom Misawat, and I think that's a decent each way price, because I think when you look at those, I know there were Asian tour events, but in particular the Thais, I mean, you know, you could have been, there's plenty of other nationalities contest those events, but the Thais were very prominent on all the leaderboards in those three previous events held there, and I think he's a guy who could come through this week.
Prom Misawat, Dave's first pick here at 40-1. I'm actually going with Lahiri to go back to back here. He was 20-1, just being clipped into 18s, but I think he's got an absolutely superb chance to go back to back this week. Outstanding win last week in Malaysia. We've mentioned the closing numbers there, 62-68 to win. I think he might not have the mental fatigue that some of the other winners do, because he's kind of backed into that victory last week to all extents and purposes, not really being in the heat of battle, having played ahead of the leading groups. But he drove the ball exceptionally, found a ton of greens in regulation, and as you mentioned at the top of the commentary, his game suits this venue as well. Clearly likes playing here, finished tied third in last year's King's Cup, fourth in that inaugural edition of the Black Mountain Masters. That lasted 2 years, that event, didn't it? 2009-2010.
That was his first ever top five.
On the Asian Tour? Yeah. And results in this part of the world last season were excellent as well. You look back through his results last year on the, in inverted commas, European Tour, those events played in Asia. Tied 12th in Hong Kong, tied 6th at the Laguna National in Singapore as well. And he had good form in Malaysia last season before winning this year. I just think he's got an excellent chance to go back-to-back. And some of the fun spoiled. Lost a couple of points there, but I think 18-1 still a respectable price for him, so I'll go for him to go back-to-back.
Yeah, can't disagree with that, yeah.
Dave, your second pick then?
Second one, fairly obvious, is a guy who always crops up when you think Asian Tour. Scott Hend, the big hitting Aussie, rather than the burly Thai.
He's a bit burly though, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, but it doesn't quite flow as well. 6 wins on the Asian Tour. 3 of them came in 2013. So it's not just ones that he's littered, kind of dotted around. He really seems to be on the rise. He won in Hong Kong in 2014, and that was his first win in a co-sanctioned event, so he's made that little step forward. Does he have course form? I didn't know at the time, to be honest. I was thinking that would be good, wouldn't it, if he did, and he does, actually. He was third in the second of those Black Mountain Masters, and then tied 7th in last year's King's Cup, so he's got it all, really, for me. And as a bonus, he was top 15 in Malaysia. That was kind of the only, you know, maybe tiebreaker that if he'd missed a load of cuts. But I think he missed a couple on the golf swing, but tied 15 in Malaysia last week. Seems to be an ideal setup to me. So
hits it a long way, doesn't he?
Yeah, hits it a long way. Course for, I think he's just got a lot in his favour, and 25-1, that was acceptable. I was expecting something around that mark, so yeah, that's fine.
25-1, Scott Henn, Dave's second pick. Mike, why no selection in the Thailand Classic?
It's not the best of fields, and it's on a new course, so there's a lot of variables that are hard to judge. So the players that I did look at weren't particularly exciting price-wise. I thought Peter Uihlein, 20-1, was just a little bit short, but he hits it a mile. Might be taking some inspiration from Brooks Koepka. I mean, I don't think there's a lot between those two. If Brooks Koepka was playing this event, I think he'd be about 10-1, wouldn't he? I know Uihlein hasn't been playing as well as him, obviously, but I don't think there's a lot in it talent-wise. Lipski always interests me, but he's 50s. I didn't see anything that would made me want to have a bet, so I don't tip if I don't have a bet on them.
The other two that came closest for me, Mark Warren, who's 12-1, clearly in fine form at the moment. Maybe the him and Noren clearly the class of this field, and has the ability to handle the wind as well. I think the venue will suit him. He was a little bit off with the driver, but that shouldn't matter around this course. And Prayad Marksang, obviously of interest here, Dave, given his excellent course form. A winner tied second and a tied eighth in three events at the venue. He did miss the cut that last week, though, and he's 49 now, so maybe not much scope. Well, no scope for improvement there.
Yeah, that was his first start in a while. He kind of maybe the age, maybe the rust is a bit slower to come off, maybe. But yeah, I think any of the ties, I mean, Jai D, I mean, he's an obvious pick, isn't he, in this? But 12s, that's sort of too short
too
for me.
Short,
that.
Yeah.
Afid Barnrat, 25, that could be okay.
He's not in quite the same form he has been in,
no,
is he?
That's probably
he's burly though.
He's a burly tie, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just sort of couple
them. Box.
Couple them. Just back a burly tie.
Alex Noren is the true Thailand Classic favourite here, 10-1. Mark Warren, 12-1. Tongchai Jaidi, 12-1. Arnie Ban Lahiri, 18s and 20s bar. Let's move on to the feature event this week then, and this is the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro Am. Jason Day and Jimmy Walker, 7-1 joint favourites. Jordan Spieth is 10-1. Dustin Johnson and Patrick Reed, both 16s. Brant Snedeker, Hunter Mahan, Ryan Palmer, all 22s. Chris Kirk and Graham DeLatt, both 25s. And it's 33s bar. First of all, Bill Murray back this year for this event. That's the most important news, obviously. Secondly, we've got a golf tournament going on as well, even though we don't see many of the leading protagonists until the Sunday in the coverage.
It's not the easiest watch if you're a golf fan, is it? No. This, if you like celebrities and you like watching Bill Murray, we've said it before. Yeah, fair enough. But you don't. It's pretty much all at Pebble Beach, the coverage, isn't it? Do they show anything else?
The occasional
a little bit.
Yeah. But it's mostly a celebrity, a dolphin in the sea. I mean, it's lovely. It's a fantastic.
You love your dolphins.
It's an iconic golf course, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I actually went there last summer, actually, to the course and stood on the 18th green. Not on the green, sorry. The people were playing. That would have been disrupted to their round. But, it's just, and it was great to be there. And fantastic, iconic course. It's great to watch. The scenery's amazing. It's just a beautiful course. Unfortunately, the celebrities somewhat ruined this event for me.
If this event was played anywhere else in the world, you'd probably put a line straight through it and say I'm not bothering with that week, wouldn't you? But because it's played at Pebble Beach and it is such an iconic golf course, the celebrities, they're just about,
you get away with it, don't you?
Yeah,
it's very
just about tolerated.
It's so pleasing on the eye that you can just about put up with Bill's antics.
It's the last of the three events on the PGA Tour this season that uses different venues as hosts.
What do you reckon is the easiest event? Easiest course, should I say?
Monterey Peninsula, historically, is the easiest, isn't it?
Just about edges out Pebble, I think.
I mean, Pebble Beach is the sort of golf course where if the wind blows, it can be really disruptive.
But if it's
benign, you can get after it. And I think that's the one variable which is difficult to judge on a Wednesday, isn't it? Because the weather can be interchangeable.
Although the forecast this week says it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, perfect.
Pretty benign, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pebble Beach can be made to be tough. It's hosted US Opens, after all. So, but yeah, for this event, they make it, they dumb it down, don't they, for the celebs, so it is pretty easy. The forecast is decent. I'd expect low scores myself. Spargas is probably the hardest of the three. But they should be able to score everywhere if it's good conditions, really, this week.
I was reading last year when Jimmy Walker won, some of his quotes, he was saying they were laughing at some of the clubs they were having to hit and some of the numbers because the wind was that strong.
Right, okay.
And he won with minus 11,
yeah.
Whereas the year before was minus 19, and I think the year before, maybe that's a better form guide.
Yes.
I think it's going to be more that mark, isn't it, this time?
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I'd say it could easily be minus 20 plus this year. We'll see. You know, if the wind does blow, it changes it.
Only two non-Americans have won the event in the past 47 years, so statistically speaking, it's going to be...
I picked a non-American.
I was aware of that stat,
but I have picked one.
Mm-hmm. I just think those stats can get overblown, personally, because the fields are always dominated by Americans. A little less so this time around, given that a host of Europeans are trying to cut it on the PGA Tour now. But historically, we've had Americans up near the top of the betting and lots of them each and every year. Even this year, you've only got one non-American in the top 12 in the betting, so the likelihood is we're going to have an American winner.
The odds are on that favour, aren't they? Clearly.
Big style. Mm. I've got two picks here.
Mm-hmm. Two.
Dave?
Do you want to lead off?
Okay, I'll lead off. I'm going with young American Daniel Berger as my headline selection here at 100-1. Confident youngster, obviously, who's been making waves with his play on tour this season. Looks like one of the web.com tour graduates to really follow this year. He's had four top 25s on tour already, and three of those four have come in his last four events. Competed well last week on a difficult golf course, finishing tied 24th despite a really poor third round there, 77 he shot in round three on the south course. Hasn't been driving the ball that well in terms of accuracy, long driver, but that shouldn't be as much of a factor here, and I think he's worth following at three figures this season. The big negative is that he's a debutant, and debutants historically haven't got a good record around here. I think only one of them's won in the last 50 odd years, but in recent years you've seen a lot of the promising youngsters go well, like first time out, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson have played well here first time up, Jason Kokrak and Pat Reed in recent years as well. So there is potential for a debutant to get involved and in the mix, and I think he's the one. So I'll go with Daniel Berger, 100-1 as my number one pick, Mike. He's for me.
Good lad. I'm going to go with Chris Kirk in this event. He's a guy that I like in low scoring events, which I think this week will be. I must say Mark's a little bit short on the market. He's 25-1, which I was hoping for a little bit higher than that, and a bit 33s would have been more beneficial. But I think Kirk's a quality player, has got some good finishes here in the past, and I just think he's slightly overpriced that. He was second here in 2013. In reasonable form at the start of this calendar year, not quite as good as at the end of last calendar year, where he had a host of good finishes, including that win in the Deutsche Bank. But I just think that this guy, who's tied 22nd on the birdie average stats for this 14-15 season, I think this is the kind of event that he can thrive in. And he's right up at the top of the game in America now. Courses that should suit. Hopefully, if his putter's hot, I could see Chris Kirk coming back to contention this week.
Chris Kirk at 25-1. See that, Dave?
Yeah, first one, Patrick Reed. I definitely have this down as a horses for courses event. He's had two looks at it, tied seventh on his debut in the good weather of 2013.
Yeah.
Tied 13th last year was another good knock. I think he should be closer in price to Day and Walker on his win rate and his just general, you know, ability to get things done. And there's another little thing. Did you read the article? There's an article doing the rounds, isn't there, about him going back to his sort of slightly dodgy past, allegedly, in his college days.
Mm-hmm. It was a really interesting piece, that, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? But
a lot of speculation there, though, without any real substance.
But, whether it's true or not, who knows? But the thing is, I think it will rile him something rotten, and the only effect of that, it's like McEnroe at tennis, isn't it? When you rile somebody of a certain mentality, it just makes him play better rather than fold.
Yeah.
So I just think, right, he's going to come out thinking, right, I'll show you, as he always seems to do.
No, I can see that.
And again, yeah, I like Day and Walker. I think they've got good chances, but 16-1 is an each way price on Patrick Reed, and you know he's not shot worse than a 71 all year so far. I mean, maybe the perception is he's gone off the boil slightly, but it's not bad, is it? You've not actually shot worse than a 71.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, and he's we're talking about low scoring. Two of his events he's won have been with minus 21 and minus 28. So I think on a lot of these holes, there's quite a lot of short par fours on these courses. I just think he boom it, wedge, putt.
Yeah, that's his game, isn't it?
We'll keep seeing him do that time and time again.
16-1 Patrick Reed for Dave then. Mike, your second pick here?
My second pick is a little bit of a price play. A guy that I like, but has, he's not got the experience that you probably need here, if I'm being truthful. I tend to agree with the comment that course experience is important in this event of the three courses. But he's a player who's mixed it in the best in majors, is a good putting stroke, and is a big price at 150-1, so I've gone for Jonas Blixt.
Okay.
That price does appeal to me. Just I think he's better than that. He's not been in stunning form of late. In fact, was 53rd in the Farmers after a couple of missed cuts. But previous to that, had some decent form at the back end of last year. Decent finishes in the match play, in the CIMB, in the HSBC. Lots of initials there. And 7th in the Nedbank. So he's... a player I rate very highly. I think once he catches fire, he's got every chance of contending. I have to admit the course lack of course experience or good form. I think he's finished 40th here on his only outing, which I suppose isn't hopeless. I'm willing to give him a blast at that price. I think he's a player out of the top draw.
This is the AT&T as well, so perfect for him with the initials.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, JB to win the AT&T.
There you go, Jonas Blixt, 150-1, Mike's second pick.
I have a theory about initials, and no, I don't.
my second selection's Stephen Bowditch, the Aussie, talented Australian, 150-1 in this field, Stephen Bowditch. He's had his problems. That's been well documented. I looked at Aaron Baddeley as well as an Aussie to go well here. But he's twice the price, Bowditch, so preferred him slightly. Breakthrough win in the Texas Open last year. Started this wraparound season with a good result at the Fries when he finished second. Has gone off the boil a little bit in the last few weeks. But worth noting that win in Texas came as a bolt from the blue, as it were. And key is his form here. 9th in 2011, 15th in 2012, 19th last year. Definitely one to look at maybe in the top 10 market at 14-1. I think he could bounce back to form this week. So I'll go with Stephen Bowditch at 150-1 as my second selection, Dave.
Yeah, I'll when you get to the who did you nearly put in, I'll put a three-figure price one. But my other main one at 40s is Kevin Na. Again, I'm back to this course form idea.
Yeah.
He's come in the top five in two of the last 3 years. And he just seems to have a really, really good form in California. Five top fives in his last seven starts. I mean, that's such a good strike rate in California. Mm. The other thing with him, you know, they'll be mucking about with celebs. Rounds are going to last hours. He'll love that, won't he?
Well, I was just thinking that. The standard round is about six hours around here. He's going to be out on the course for like 9 hours, isn't he?
He'll probably feel a bit rushed, if anything.
Yeah.
But he's proved it here. Tried 26 in Phoenix last time. Was a decent enough warm-up for me. And it's just, it's back to the horses for courses. I mean, his one win came in Nevada, didn't it, in Vegas, but again that's a West Coast sort of thing. I think this is the place to back him, and I'm not entirely convinced he can beat all of these big guns here, but you go through his record, there's so many sort of fourths and fifths on there. So he seems really good at
getting placed.
Yeah, it seems like
Charles Howell,
an each way punter's friend, isn't he?
He got placed again last weekend, didn't he? I think Charles Howell, did he?
He had a run at it, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He might have. Well, he's there or thereabouts. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he will have been definitely tied fifth, won't he, on 800. Only missed the
playoff. Now was on my list. I get now. I do.
Yeah.
He's 40-1. He's the kind of character that maybe puts a little bit too much pressure on himself, you know, at the business end.
Yeah, possibly.
40-1, Kevin Na. Honourable mentions then. Who came closest for you, Mark?
I've got another little bet that I might put up just as a top 10 Charlie Wee has always played well here. Yeah, and has had a better start to this season, this calendar year anyway, than of late. He's 200-1, so I don't know what price he is top 10, Dave. I'm assuming something like 18-1 would be my guess.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He could be one to watch this week. He really loves this event. He's got some really good finishes here.
He's 18s, yeah.
18s, yeah. I think that's a reasonable top 10. The last 3 years, he did miss the cut last year, but before that he was 16th, then second, and about 3 years earlier he was 14th here. So they're reasonable form figures for old Charlie.
Definitely.
And as we know, whether you'd think he could win, he's one of those who backs off a little bit when the podium nears. But I could see him finishing top 10, definitely.
Who came closest for you then, Dave, apart from the two that you picked?
Mike's kind of made me think. Maybe I should throw this in. Alex Prue was my close but not quite.
Yeah.
125s on the outright. It's basically, I think years ago, I just recall him playing well in California, and I always thought, right, whenever there's a Californian event, look for Alex Prue. But then he kind of lost it a bit and vanished. But he came fifth in the Farmers last week, back on the radar.
Played well.
He did play very well. So I had a look back through his results, and they seem to come in little bursts, his good play. That I think it was 2010, I think he went 5-5-10 in three California events at the start of the year. And then even on his web.com form, you go through it and there's a little spell of three top tens in a row and then two in a row.
So a bit of a street player.
Get hot, stay hot kind of thing.
Yeah.
So after his fifth last week, and he's had two decent efforts here, 21st and 27th. Mm. So maybe, yeah... It's one of those ones, isn't it? If you put him up for top 10 and then he wins, you feel a bit kind of cheated. But
well, you can have a saver on him to win as well, can't you? Yeah, that's what I will do with Wee. I'll have maybe back him top 10 and a little bit on him to win. If he wins at 200s, I won't be worrying.
Yeah, that's a safe way, isn't it? So 11-1 he is for top 10. Given the fact that he does bunch them in sequences, that could be a fair sort of price. It's not asking the world, is it, for him to get top 10?
No, absolutely not. And Wee's a good example of Charles Howell's another good example. You know, maybe Nari's even an example of players that do tend to... The odds of them finishing top 10 are probably better than them finishing first in comparative terms, you know, and the difference in the prices. Because some people do find it hard to win, you know.
Yeah, in a similar vein, I liked Michael Putnam as well. At 18-1 he is to finish top 10, 200-1 to win the event. He's one that I'd like to give a mention to because... he maybe doesn't have the game to win, but I was impressed with his style at the Humana. Had a big chance there on a low-scoring golf course. Mm. Backed that up with a good finish in Phoenix. Then subsequently went on to narrowly miss the cut of the Farmers and had three decent finishes here. Not top finishes, but made the cut on all three starts. And I think in a similar vein to the two we've just mentioned, he's 18-1 for a top 10, which I think's okay.
The last fellow I was going to mention, about his price has cut from, I think it was hundreds into 80, was Kevin Chappell, who was six here in 2009, which is a long while ago, but he's bubbling under for me, but I'd want bigger than 80s.
Yeah, that's fair comment. Okay, chaps, let's recap the picks for this week. Who's the player you don't want to win? Who came closest in either event, Dave, that you'd be angry to see win?
Well, it's just either of those front two at Pebble, because... I remember back in VJ at 9-2 when he won here, and I just thought that was easy.
Yeah.
And if Day or Walker wins, that will be a case of that was pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious.
So I don't want either of those to win. I really don't.
Yeah. I think I'd go for maybe Dustin Johnson. I mean,
I'm surprised we haven't mentioned him. I was just about to say that. Yeah. Funnily enough,
he's only 16-1, and I understand his record here is sensational.
Sensational.
Should maybe have won that U.S. Open in 2010, where he closed with that 82, two wins and a tied second here in the AT&T.
He'll go well this week.
His wedge game was just slightly off. I think he was
a bit rust off. I could see him going very well this week.
He was twice the price last week. Maybe he deserves to be twice as short this week, but he still missed the cut last week.
He did, maybe
a little bit short at 16s, but he's probably the guy that I don't want
to win. The market leaders, he'd have been the one I'd have been interested in the top five or six in the betting. Player I don't want to win, probably Kevin Chappell.
Just to recap then, my pick for the true Thailand Classic, Anibang Lahiri, hopefully to go back-to-back at 18-1. I'll have a point each way, Dave.
Yeah, Hend at 25s, a point each way. Misawat at 40s, a point each way.
Good stuff. And in the US, Mike, your two picks?
I'll have a point each way on Chris Kirk at 25s and Jonas Blix 150s.
And I'm going a point each way, Daniel Berger at 100-1, and a point each way, Stephen Bowditch at 150s.
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Kevin Na, and 2 points win. Patrick Reed wins, doesn't he? So ooh, let's not knock about it.
Like 2 points
bulls. 16s, yeah.
Good stuff, 16-1. Thank you, chaps. Thanks to everyone for listening as well. Remember, you can download this podcast via iTunes and check us out at audioboom.com as well by typing in William Hill. That's where all our on-demand audio lives. Your pre-tournament bets for the Thailand Classic must be on by this evening at 11 p.m. and you've got until 3 p.m. on Thursday for the AT&T at Pebble Beach. Enjoy the action this week, folks, and we'll be back again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.